Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Today on Fire It Up with CJ, I have our own Dr. Jeffrey Hull, a writer, psychologist, and executive coach, and also a host on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. He is a widely recognized in the field of leadership and high-performance coaching. So our focus today is making life transitions, which Dr. Hull, or Jeff, is expert in. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Welcome, Jeff. Jeff.
Hi there.
Yeah, or Dr. J. I don't know. I think I like Dr. J better. Dr. J's good. Dr. Pat, though, just wants to make everyone doctor. I think she's going to call me Dr. CJ, too.
Why not, right?
Oh, gosh. So what I wanted to do is I thought would be interesting, because I know it seems like from reading your bio and such, you've gone through a couple of transitions yourself.
I
thought it'd be kind of a good way for us to learn your material by talking about the shifts that you've done in your life, maybe taking a big shift or transition that you made, and then walking us through the various steps that you ask clients to go through. Do you want to play with me and try it?
I'm happy to do that. Sure.
Okay. So when you think back at all your transitions that you've made, which is the one that's been the most challenging for you? Was one of the more challenging ones where your steps would have really helped you, or your steps really did help you? Let me put it that way.
Well, I'd have to say I didn't go through the steps. they probably would have helped if I had known about them at the time.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I look back on it and I see that there were stages or steps that I went through, and then I've been able to apply that working with clients for years since then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been through a number of different changes and shifts in my life, both personally and professionally. I think that's probably true for all of us who reach some, you know, magical thing called middle age, whatever you want to call that. But I think probably the one that you're pointing to and the one that's probably most relevant to a lot of listeners is having reached a place in my mid-30s where I was extremely unhappy in my corporate work and really didn't quite know what to do about it. You know, I wasn't laid off. I wasn't fired. But in a sense, I kind of fired myself. I got to a point where I just knew emotionally and physically that the job was stressing me out, that it wasn't something that I wanted to continue doing. And it was a really painful process to realize that what I had committed to a number of years of doing was really no longer satisfying.
So in your case, using your model, it really wasn't necessarily a rupture. I mean, when you describe that as an ending of some sort, you didn't have a traditional rupture. And that's your step. Is that right? Step one is rupture.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, in many ways I did. I mean, I think these days, you know, this is obviously many years ago. This was in the mid-90s. And these days I think that these kinds of career ruptures and life ruptures are even more traumatic for a lot of people, because with the recession and the sort of volatile world we live in today, things are much less secure and people do get laid off and whole industries just come up and disappear. So, and people get downsized. I mean, during my experience, it was more an internal rupture. Mm-hmm. And I had a very difficult relationship with my boss, and I had a lot of stress. I was working extremely long hours, and I had physical ailments, you know, extreme lower back pain, headaches, difficulty sleeping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look back on that now and I realize that those are often the first signals of a rupture for people. You know, a lot of times people will come to me and say, I haven't been sleeping well, or I'm feeling depressed, or I'm having extreme back pain. And back then I would have thought, well, you need to see a doctor or get some sleeping pills or, you know. These days I'm more apt to say, okay, well, let's look at those symptoms as potentially signals of a broader rupture that may be taking place for you.
And so when you actually went through that rupture, even though yours was kind of an internal kind of knowing, what did you, and again, using your steps, the second step is letting go or release. What did you have to release in order to move on from your previous corporate job?
Well, that's really the crux of the matter around it, is the release is always a story.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's really a fundamental theme of all of my work and one of the key themes in my book, which is that as we grow in our adult lives, we take on stories about how we describe ourselves in the world, our roles as professionals, family members, certain, you know, roles in life, and we take them on and we become attached to them. So in this case, it was, you know, I was a senior director of human resources at a big company, and, you know, I took a lot of prestige. I took a lot of pride in that. Mm-hmm. And so when it was kind of obvious to me that I was miserable, there was a real wake-up call to realize that that narrative, that story that I had told myself, was no longer applicable. So it was about releasing and letting go of that. Now, you know, and it's in a situation where you let go of a narrative around the way you've come to see your life, it can be really painful because unless you know what you're going to replace that narrative with, it can feel like a real void.
Yeah.
And that's why I think there's a process that people need to accept, which is a grieving process. It's almost like, you know, when we lose a pet or we lose a loved one, or we have a breakup or something like that in our lives, you know, we accept the idea that you should go through a grieving process. But if you decide to change your career, you don't automatically think of a grieving process being associated with that. But I find that in any situation where you're letting go of a story about how you live your life or about who you are in the world, that there is a releasing process that includes grieving and a whole emotional upheaval that goes with that.
Yeah, I think it's really hard for the psyche because you have a kind of a basis for that you and everyone else accepts are kind of definitions of who you are. So let that go is very disruptive, I think. I've seen it with my clients. I've experienced it myself, and the way that you describe it as a void, it does feel like that, I think, too, and it's scary. I think it's one of the scariest moments that you can be in. You talk about retreat. How is that different than releasing? Is that when you finally are in a peaceful place, or what's the difference between a retreat, which is your third step, and release?
Importance of adding in a third step that I call retreat came about in once I recognized that in almost every case, including my own, the replacement narrative, you know, like the new relationship or the new career or the new opportunity, doesn't automatically come on whatever time frame you might like it to.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to create space. And that's something that we don't do a lot of in our culture. You know, people, they lose their job and they decide they're going to have to get another one the very next day. Now, there may be situations where, you know, financial requirements lead them that, you know, they may have to get out and job hunt. But in a situation where, you know, it's maybe more of an emotional release or it's a life change or you're making the decision to make a change in your career or something like that, you know, I really advocate to take some time after you've kind of let go of whatever it is that's changing in your life, you know, after you're going to have given yourself some space for the release, but to give yourself a little bit of a break And it can be, it doesn't have to be a sabbatical of 6 months, you know. Some people will say to me, oh, so you, what you're saying is that I need to go to India and, like, you know, meditate in an ashram for 6 months. And I'm like, well, if you had the luxury of doing that, that would be great. But the reality is very few of us have that luxury. It's really more a quality of an experience. It could really be as short as a weekend. You know, I mean, it's not necessarily time-oriented, but it's about giving yourself space to allow energy to shift, to allow that sort of what I call the downshift to complete and ground yourself in the energy of what may be coming, to give yourself space for something new.
And just for folks out there, we're going to talk a lot more about the downshift in the next segments. Real quickly, we have a couple minutes left. Tell us about the revival and rehearsal stage and what those are all about, and the realization.
We can obviously dig into them, that, you know, as much as you want. But the idea is that once you've retreated and sort of stepped out of the narrative and released and let go of whatever's no longer serving you, then at some point the energy shifts into a more playful, creative space, and that's what I call the revival. And then beyond that, there's a point at which we all make a decision to commit to something, and that moves us into a rehearsal, which is a more disciplined, focused activity. And then the good news, ultimately, you culminate in what I call the realization.
Where you manifest your new vision or your new story and narrative.
Yeah, where you come to feel grounded in the new space, and that's the importance of having sort of a final realization stage is to remember to celebrate, to remember to stop when things are going really well, and experience it.
Yeah, that's actually one that I think our society doesn't do enough of, but I think it's something I constantly have to remind myself. So today, Dr. Jeffrey Hull, a writer, psychologist, and executive coach, and also a host on the Transformation Talk Radio, he's recognized as a pioneer in the field of leadership and high-performance coaching. If you want to know more about Dr. J or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or www.jeffreyhull.com. Be right back.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Hey, everyone. In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Dr. Jeffrey Hull, an international recognized psychologist, leadership coach, speaker, and writer on Fired Up with CJ. This segment focuses on the negative stories we tell ourselves during transitions, what are they for, and what is the harm of them? And we had talked in the previous segment about letting go and releasing of these stories, and it's actually one of the hardest things to do because, as you said in the previous segment, and I think Westerners are particularly prone to this, is that we really define ourselves based on our job title, our occupation, our family, our role. I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, whatever. And the amount of money we make, or all of our things, our family. I mean, all of our stories do equal. I'm a firm believer of what you said, which is that our stories that start defining who we are. And when I work with clients, it's probably the hardest thing to let go. So when you look at this, Dr. J, how do you think those definitions, when you these Western definitions that we equal our job and our role and our money, how do they harm us, do you think?
Well, I think they're all absolutely appropriate, you know, in the sense that it's one way that we define the meaning of our lives. Mm-hmm. Is by being able to express to people we care about or to the world, you know, who we are and what we do, you know, whether you're a psychologist or you're a radio DJ or you're a teacher or you're a mom. I mean, these kinds of narratives and labels and categories are really important and positive elements of our self-esteem. Mm-hmm. The issue comes up when we get very stuck in boxes and put ourselves into very fine, limiting categories that the way life works, they're constantly changing. You know, the cycle is such that nothing stays the same. And we all see this in the economy and the political arena. We see it go on all around us. But when things change for us, it's when it sometimes gets painful because when you go through a divorce or you go through a layoff, or you just, as I was describing in the last segment, go through a painful rupture in kind of a recognition that you're no longer happy doing what you were doing and you want to make a change, that requires you to recognize that whatever label, whatever name, whatever category you've been associated with is only a story. It's not a fact. And that becomes the key to making room for something new, is being able to let things go. And that's what people are really challenged by is, oh, well, if I'm no longer this, that, or the other kind of professional, then what am I? You know, we go through these periods in life where we feel lost. We feel like we don't know who we are.
So who are they? What would you say if a client said, well, if I'm not a doctor or a teacher or a mom or a wife anymore, who am I? I mean, what do you say when clients say that to you?
I say that you want to give yourself space to be a human being in transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be able to say, I'm no longer X, but I'm not yet Y.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm a creative being that's constantly renewing, remodeling, redefining myself. You know, we renovate our houses, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We redecorate our rooms, but then we struggle with renovating and renewing ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's
now, whenever you,
true.
Let's say if you renovate your kitchen, right, there's a period when you do that, when you rip out all the cabinets and you pull out all the appliances and you can't use it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what's interesting is having gone through a remodel recently in our house, there's, you know what, it's weird because you go through that same, at least the three steps that you talk, I mean, the same six steps that you talked about, because I think that there's kind of a rupture, like someone destroys your wall. But then, and then it's like, wow, this room is no longer what it used to be. And then what's interesting, though, is in a house, you can actually be somewhat neutral. You can actually see it as spaciousness, and you can see that there's like an incredible opportunity that awaits. And so it's kind of exciting. But I do think that in that, and there is a period where it is a little bit of a, whoops, there's lots of space now. What the heck did I do? And I teared down that wall. So it is interesting.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really good metaphor. I mean, I'm just kind of visualizing it now, but I think about, you know, the way the process that I've been through and friends of mine have been through when I've renovated parts of my apartment or house or something. And you do go through that phase where all of a sudden you realize you can't cook in your kitchen anymore. And it's like, oh my God, well, what are we going to do? This is horrible, you know, and how long is this going to take? And the guy didn't show up yesterday, and I was planning on having it all done by Friday, and the contractor says it's not going to take 3 weeks. And, you know, and it's very stressful, and your story about how it's supposed to unfold perfectly always gets pulled apart. But there's also those wonderful, playful moments when you sort of just realize, hey, you know what? We can order in Chinese, you know? It's like you can reframe the situation, and you can make it playful. You can make it fun. And so it's the same thing. It's really the same process. It's giving yourself space.
That's true. So let's actually what I wanted, and I'll tell you what we did in our remodel. We had a big, in our kitchen, we had a big piece of plywood dividing our kitchen in half. And the kids were like, oh. And then what we did is we started painting the plywood to make it an art project. That was the way we dealt with it.
Well, how perfect is that?
I know. So I wanted to actually tell you. It's making lemonade out of lemons, right?
Well, so and it's also, you know, what I love is it's also breaking down the categories. You know, it's like to map it to the to more of the psychological process of transformation. You actually took the what would have been a negative situation and you spun it around and reframed it and created an opportunity to be playful and creative.
That's true. That's kind of my, that's my modus operandi. That's what I define myself as. No, just kidding. Okay, so I'm defining myself as that from now on.
That's totally cool.
Okay, so I have some, here's some things that, here are common things that, my clients tell me when they're going through transition is that not only do the, is it hard to let go of the kind of the, ways that we define ourselves, our roles and things like that. But then also these negative narratives start coming in. And I wanted to hear, kind of your response to, or what you would tell a client when they tell you these things. So, one of the things that you hear when people lose their job is I'm too old. Or when they lose a mate, I'm too old to get another job. I'm too old to get married again. What would you say to a client that came in and said that to you?
What's I would ask them to listen to the story they're telling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not really telling me they're too old. They're telling themselves that they're too old.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's exactly the kind of narrative that we're talking about. It's like that's a self-critical narrative. Mm-hmm. And then I would give them an example of, you know, in fact, just popped into my head, one of my dear friends is a therapist, and she was telling me that she just started having this wonderful interaction with a new patient. And I said, oh, what's wonderful about it? And she said, the patient is 102.
Oh, my God. I love that.
And I said, what? And she said, my patient is 102 years old. And I said, that's not possible. And she said, it is absolutely possible. It's a fact. She lives on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And she was depressed because she wasn't really into her volunteer job anymore. So she wanted to talk to a therapist.
Oh, goodness. So you're never too old. And, you know, in fact, we had Catherine, she's like a dating coach. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm working with an 88-year-old who's into finding her next mate. And I thought, that is fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. So all you need is two things. So to respond to your original question, you know, what would I say to someone who brings that kind of narrative? I number one point out that they're talking to themselves, not to me. And number two, evidence in the world would demonstrate that that's just a story. It's not a fact. Mm-hmm. Because if a 102-year-old woman can seek out a therapist to reinvent her life, you know, unless the person you're referring to is 105,
Right. No, 805, you know, and then there will be another person, 105, coming walking in the, near your door tomorrow just to prove you wrong.
So.
Yeah, it is. These, their stories are so damaging. And I think what someone's, one person told me once, I said, you know, all you're doing, what hypnosis is repeating, this person is a hypnotherapist. She said hypnosis is repeating, things over and over again so that your, you know, your unconscious can start, something along these lines can start, you know, understanding these as true statements. So when you, so similarly, she said, well, when you repeat these negative narratives or stories that you tell yourself and you're unconsciously like hypnotizing yourself to believe these things are true. And it's really extremely damaging. And that, you know, the language choices that you make are super important during these times during transition. I don't know. What do you think about that?
No, I completely agree. I mean, I think that there is a, element of hypnosis that it's exactly that. It's this, what we often will call fact. Mm-hmm. Is actually just a form of being hypnotized by your own story.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Think like, you know, so just taking these statements, like, so even the one when you're in transition to say, hey, you know what, if someone says, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm in transition right now. I'm trying to figure out the next thing and, you know, maybe reinvent myself or do the same thing. Don't know. I mean, that's like a much more helpful story than I don't know. I'm such a loser. No one wants me, you know, which are the kind of stories that typically people tell themselves. So I want to talk in the next section how we get through the difficult parts of transition. So we'll cover that in the next segment. Dr. Jeffrey Hull, an international recognized psychologist, leadership coach, speaker, and host on the Transformation Talk Radio on Fired Up with CJ. Up next, again, how we actually handle those difficult parts of a transition. If you want to know more about Dr. J or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or listen to Dr. J's radio program, which is on airs at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. Is that right, Dr. J?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful! Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. The segment on Fired Up with CJ, Dr. Jeffrey Hull, an internationally recognized psychologist, leadership coach, speaker, and writer. Our focus, how do we actually get through difficult parts of a transition? So it seems like in your book, and we talked earlier in the first segment, some of the most difficult ones, difficult part of a transition is really the downshifting phase, as in your book, Shift, Let Go of Fear and Get Your Life in Gear. You refer to these as the rupture, release, and retreat steps. And it's the phase that I've noticed a lot of people want to fast forward. Why do you think this phase is so difficult for people?
Well, when you say the phase, would you mean the entire
downshifting phase?
It's painful. I think that's the reason why any of us, including myself, we would like to move through the painful parts of a transition process as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, we're not always in control. I mean, I think that this is something that I dig into in more detail in my book, but in what is really happening during the rupture and breakdown and release phases and retreat phases of the downshifting, as I call it, the cycle of self-renewal, is some part of our ego is getting broken open, you know, whether it's being shattered by getting laid off or you know, breakdown in our relationship or whatever it is, you know, it's a real blow to our ego. And so our first reaction to these kinds of things when they come is that they're very negative and that they're very painful. And we obviously want to try to avoid them. And what I'm saying in my book, for the most part, is that they're not only necessary, they're actually key to reinventing yourself. They're actually ultimately going to be turned positive, and that it's part of personal growth for all of us to get more facile, more comfortable with the transition stages of life, because that's how we grow personally. It's even true, you know, on a macro level. If you look at the country, like the whole U.S. and what we've been going through the last couple of years, you know, we're so attached to the idea that things have to be, the economy has to constantly be growing and moving upward, that, you know, we really don't know how to be with it when it's in a downward cycle. But the reality is that it's in a cycle just like everything else in life. Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn to be more facile with getting through those downward phases so that we can prepare for the inevitable upturn.
So tell me a little bit about that. So when we're more comfortable with going through change and these transitions, how does that prepare us for the upturn?
Well, it's what creates the space for something new to happen.
Ah, okay. Got it.
That's really the key thing. You know, it's the crucial linchpin to innovation and creativity. Mm-hmm. Is you have to make space for it.
Right.
And it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't necessarily happen on schedule. And that's hard for our egos.
Yeah. Well, we feel like we have so much control over our own destiny. In reality, we sort of do, but we we don't really. I mean, how fast it's going to come, how quickly our efforts will manifest into something good. Who knows? So let's go to the, what you had mentioned in the first segment too, is that, you know, oftentimes people during this phase of rupture, release, and retreat, they want to fast forward through it because it's painful and they have to let go of their ego and such. What do you think is the risk? Because I think, you know, the people just want to, I know a lot of clients want to, oh, I lost my job, I'm going to start applying for another job right away. What's the risk of, you know, not taking a sabbatical or even a long weekend retreat?
Well, that's actually a really, really good question, because the risk is that if you don't become aware of the possibility of change leading to something new and giving yourself over to the emotional process to create the space for something new, then what will invariably happen is you'll wind up repeating yourself. And it's funny, so this happens at the macro level, and it happens on the individual level. You know, I was just talking about the economy. It's the same process, that if we don't take the time to get things, to move through the changes, relearn from our mistakes, and create new structures and new processes and new policies and new ways of being, then we're probably going to end up where we were one more time. Economically.
Right. And what you said, repeating yourself, it's like, let's say that you got fired from fired because you had an argument with your boss. Chances are, don't be surprised if next job, if you really just fast forward through it, that, oh, lo and behold, you're getting fired because you had an argument with your boss. Is that what you mean by repeating yourself?
Yeah, exactly. That same thing can happen. Or let's say you're in a relationship and you have a huge, painful breakup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, rather than taking the time to step back and learn from the experience and process it emotionally and intellectually and think about what your part in the breakdown was versus what the other person's part was, and taking ownership in your own part in it and going through the process of kind of getting in touch with what you might need to change about yourself or what you might want to learn from it, you wind up getting back in a relationship with someone that's exactly the same thing over again.
Now, I know you said that you mentioned that you studied Eastern philosophies. It sounds a lot like karma, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that I have studied a number of Eastern philosophies, and I have a great deal of respect for that. I think that integration of the Eastern perspective and the Western perspective is really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. Because they each have something to bring to the equation. And, mm-hmm. I mean, the Western perspective tends to be very action-oriented,
yeah.
Rational, logical, very creative, good at problem-solving. And the Eastern perspective tends to be more receptive and more trying to be in tune with the natural world. Mm-hmm. And you really need both. So, you know, when you say Eastern, it's a big topic, because of course there's Buddhist and there's Hindu and there's
yeah.
a whole lot of different types of Eastern philosophies. But
yeah, and a lot of those have the sense of karma, where you've done, you know, if you have this one thing and you haven't learned from it, you're just going to keep on. And I was referring to when you're saying repeat yourself, you'll just, a lot of, whether it's Hindu or Buddhist or whatever, the idea that you're going to go back and the same things are just going to happen. You know, because you haven't learned, grown, or changed from that experience the first time. So, lo and behold, the universe will throw it right back at you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really a Hindu philosophy that is based around the belief in reincarnation. And, you know, I'm not necessarily an advocate for that strong a belief system, but I will say that I think that my focus is on personal growth. So when I'm supporting people in going through these kinds of transitions, you know, it gets back to something we talked about in the earlier segment about the retreat phase. I mean, one of the benefits of the release and retreat stages of my model for supporting people through change is that retreat process is about stepping back and reflecting and giving yourself space mm-hmm. to think about what benefit you can get from what you're going through. What can you learn from it? What attributes of yourself, what elements of your of your patterns, of your habits, mm-hmm. can you become comfortable with and aware of, and so you have then the option to make changes.
And one of the things that I'm noticing is we talk about space and making space, but I actually think that because it's so unfamiliar to the Western culture that people don't even know what that means. Help us figure out, what does that mean when you say make space and clear, you know, what does that look like when you yourself are making space for yourself?
It's a really good question, because I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people struggle with that. And I think that it's about creating space on three dimensions. I mean, mm-hmm. physical, emotional, and mental dimensions. And so if you think about that, physical means creating a space, physical space, for retreat, for getting grounded, for getting quiet, for relaxing. It really depends on the individual as to where that is or what it looks like, but it could look like setting up a quiet space in your apartment or a sanctuary in your backyard. I know for myself, I look back, and for me, early in my, the cycles of my ruptures that I went through, going to the beach by myself, like finding a quiet space on a beach, was a retreat space. Long before I even knew that's what I was doing, I just did.
Yeah.
It's like I gravitated to finding a quiet spot on a beach.
Yeah.
I think being in nature is a really important part of the physical space mm-hmm. that I'm talking about, finding something that you can connect to in the natural world. Mm-hmm. On the emotional level, it's about giving yourself space to allow your feelings to show up mm-hmm. and get expressed. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to have that space, emotional space, with another person. It can look like a therapist, it could look like a coach kind of dynamic, but it can also be just journaling, you know, finding some time to write in a journal and to just get your emotions on paper out of your system. So creating space for your expressing your feelings. And then intellectual space, I think, is probably the one that people struggle with the most. Like, what does that mean? Or mental space. And what I'm talking about there is giving yourself the space and time for fantasy.
Oh,
to allow
that's nice.
Yourself to dream of what's possible.
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
You know, every new company and every new career and every new innovation, every new product, like an iPhone or a Macintosh or I think of some of the gadgets that we have, everything started with an idea. Mm. And you have to create space, mental space, for new ideas.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, I love the way that you described that, the whole thing about giving space. Because I think it's almost a foreign concept to us because we often don't give it to ourselves. So next we're going to talk about some kind of a powerful framework to think about transition. And I think you've offered quite a bit of stuff already, but want to wrap the segment up with that. Dr. Jeffrey Hull, an internationally recognized psychologist, leadership coach, speaker, and writer on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Mondays, you get a chance to call in with your questions live with Mada. If you would like this internationally acclaimed master healer to answer your questions on a personal level, call 1-800-930-2819. Speak with the founder of her very own evolutionary lightspeed healing method and receive personal guidance pertaining to any physical or emotional health concern that you might have. Just call 1-800-930-2819. That's Mondays with Mada, only on Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Dr. Jeffrey Hull, an internationally recognized psychologist, leadership coach, speaker, and writer. And our focus today is how can we think about transition in a really powerful way? And I think we've talked about several different ways to think about it. But I wanted to hear from you, Dr. J, What do you want our heart and spirit to know about transition, or our minds, or the either the scared parts or empowering parts to know about transition?
What I'm passionate about is helping people to move from seeing life change or transitions as negative and as scary and as something to be avoided, towards seeing them as the key to personal growth, to see them as the opportunity to reinvent yourself, your relationship, your career, that's really what we have, you know, that we're all, in a sense, we're all entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the entrepreneurs of our lives. So the key to consistently being innovative and creative with your life is a willingness to go through those transitional moments and not see them as something to be avoided. Doesn't mean that they're going to be fun. You know, you won't necessarily enjoy the rupture part or the breakdown, but you'll come to see them as breaking you open to something new.
Mm. Okay, so let's talk about a rupture that you recently experienced and used your steps. I mean, how were you able to kind of, you know what? You know, talk yourself off the ledge and talk yourself from this scared, denial place to a place of like, okay, I'm ready to do this.
I think for me, the most recent major example of it is the decision that I had to make and to go full time as a writer when I was in the process of writing my book, because It encapsulates the entire process. I mean, I had an idea that I wanted to take this work that I've been doing for over a decade, and I had developed this model of supporting people through transitions, through life change, and through the fears, and I wanted to write about it, and I went through the process of writing a book proposal, and I went through the process of getting an agent, and then getting a publishing contract, and everything was going hunky-dory, and I thought I could write this book part-time while I see clients. And like everyone else, I think I had a story that I could do it all. You know, and many of us have these kinds of moments in life where we have two or three jobs, or two or three kids and two or three jobs, and we're gonna, we're gonna do it all. And all of a sudden, about halfway through the process of writing the book, I realized I was falling behind. And I was really stressed out, and it wasn't working. That I just wasn't, it wasn't a creative process. It was really painful. It wasn't fun. I was missing my deadlines. I was frustrating the editors. I wasn't being the same wonderful coach to my clients that I was used to being. And I had to have a real wake-up call in that it just wasn't going to be possible for me to do it all. And I had to make the decision to let go of my job, to let go of my work, the paid work, and become a full-time writer for approximately 4 months. And it was a really scary decision. Like, okay, I'm going to go, I'm not going to work for 4 months, and then I would stop and I would say to myself, no, wait, I am going to work, I'm going to write this book, that's work, but it's not paid.
Right.
So it was the same kind of process of letting go of my story that I could work part-time on the book and meet the deadlines, and I had to just let that go and release my fantasy, which wasn't turning out to be true, and enter into sort of this limbo space of the unknown. Like, would I actually be able to get through this financially? Would my family support me in getting through the process? And, you know, on the other end, would the book come out and all of that? And I look back on it now and I think, you know, that is exactly what I needed to do. It was the right decision to go full time and to give myself the space and time to write the book, and it all worked out fine. But in the moment, it was extremely scary. You know, my
ego. So what would you, having gone through this, and, you know, and this is like exactly what clients go through, right? They actually go through, oh, how am I going to afford doing this? Will I be okay financially? I mean, if the current you were to be able to talk to the past you during when you were at that moment of rupture, what would you have said to yourself about the financial piece?
I mean, I think it's about recognizing, number one, that you can actually get by on a lot less than you think you can.
That's good, yeah.
You know, that there are times in life where you just have to take stock of what's really, really important. And I think that's a really good process. It's a really positive process for all of us to go through because, you know, we live in a society that puts so much value on material wealth, and we get very accustomed to, you know, having all the material benefits, you know, whether, I mean, of course, this is beyond food, just basic food and shelter, but I think most Americans take it for granted that you're going to have, you know, new clothes on a regular basis, that you're going to have a laptop computer, that you're going to have internet access, that you're going to have a flat screen TV, that you're going to have a car, whatever it is, and rarely step back and say, wait a minute, do I need all this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, what do I really need to be happy in my life?
Yeah, so the message would have been, hey, you know what, you can live, you can get by with a lot less, and in fact you did, and it was fine.
And it may be temporary.
Yeah, and there are probably some things that you maybe have adopted, right? That you're like, that was actually pretty good. I'm going to stop doing that altogether.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And also that many of the endeavors that we choose to get involved in that require us to make these sacrifices ultimately may even bring more money to us in the future.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
So that's why I think the second piece to your question, you know, you were asking specifically about the financial element, but the second probably bigger question I think is trust. That when you go through these kinds of transitional moments, you have to find some trust in the universe that things are happening for a reason. And I know that may sound somewhat new agey to people, but you know that the universe and your friends and your family will come to support you once you've made a commitment.
Yeah. I once was told, and I truly believe, so you have to make a fundamental decision whether you think the universe is friendly or unfriendly. And if you believe that it's friendly, then you have to go to a place of, you don't have to, but then you go to a place of trust and faith and saying, you know, there is something good. I'm going through some pain right now, but I have extreme faith that the universe is friendly, and all these these things that are challenging are for something really wonderful that's coming along. And it's so hard to be there, right? Like when someone tells you that when you just lost a job, you're like, you know, screw you, go away.
Right.
But it really is true. It really is true.
Yeah, it doesn't always make the pain go away in the moment, but almost always in retrospect, you know, you'll look back and say, oh, you know, that really was the best thing that ever happened to me, because look what happened since then.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your book, Shift, Let Go of Fear, and Get Your Life in Gear. And also your radio show, which was going to be coming back in the near future. So Dr. Jeffrey Hull, thank you again for your time.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for Chris, our wonderful station manager at WBOQ. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.